This is Adam Kirko, and you're listening to 60 Frames Per Second, Episode 18. This is a podcast about the latest in the video game world. In today's episode, we're talking about the newest Total War game, Japanese game art, even prettier Half-Life 2 graphics, cheat codes for that Windows pinball game, full auto marketing, the newest Mortal Kombat details, and more. Get ready, because you are running at 60 frames per second. Welcome back to episode 18 of 60 Frames Per Second. Not a whole lot to tell today, except that this episode, as always, will be awesome. We have a variety of cool stuff, and for the first time in a long time, not all of it is just related in big clumps to Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, like the bulk of the other ones mostly were. I would expect that to come back around GDC and even more around E3, since it's going to be more exclusive, but a lot of stuff this week was just about games. But anyway, now I have the facts on the 360 sales as of last Friday. Right now, the Xbox 360 has sold around 600,000 units, according to the NPD Group, which takes two-thirds of retailers across the U.S. to get this number. Microsoft has scrapped the sales projection they wanted and are going for 4.5 million to 5.5 million by June 30th of this year. If they get enough shipped, they could have it. But you know, that is a big number and not that many consoles are eating out now. There are more showing up around now, just showing up at stores, especially Walmart. You maybe see a core version. But the premium packs are going to take a little while to get out there. I'm sure they're going to get out pretty soon. Just keep on trying if you don't have one still on. But I'm sure if you want one now and you're listening to this, you probably already have yours. We all know the 360 will have an HD DVD add-on sometime in the future. But what if HD DVD is stomped by Blu-ray and that becomes a new medium? Well, Microsoft has stated in an interview that if this does happen, then they could make an external Blu-ray drive, since it is external. The problem the PS3 has is that it is stuck with a Blu-ray, but of course, they could go the external route as well, but they couldn't do it with their games. They could go movies just like Microsoft's going. I still cannot decide which is going to win the next gen wars. I mean, different companies, movie companies are going either way, and since the games for Blu-ray are on the PS3 and HD DVD doesn't really have any games yet, it kind of seems like Blu-ray is out on top. I mean, because if you have a PS3, then you're going to be playing Blu-ray games. With a 360, then you're going to be playing DVD games, and that's already won this war. Project Gotham Racing 3 is the newest demo on the marketplace. I kind of wanted to try this out, so I was excited it was on there. I haven't played it yet, but it was really neat. I was just looking along, and it was on there, so I downloaded it. It is just a single-player one, no multiplayer like the Quake 4 demo, which would have been really nice to kind of test out how the multiplayer works, or even just see one race in Gotham TV. Before you download it, make sure you know that it is 1.23 gigs. I think that is the biggest download on the marketplace at the moment. The next biggest one being Need for Speed at just under 1 gig. And the rest are anywhere from 400 to 600. megabytes. Racing games seem to take up space for some reason. I downloaded through one night whenever I wasn't playing, and I have to say the marketplace has pretty nice and fast downloads. Anyway, the only racing games I really like are arcadey ones, like Mario Kart, Full Auto, Burnout 3, etc. I used to like the Need for Speed games with the car, like the police chases and all that, but they just aren't as fun as they used to be. The Underground ones were alright. Most Wanted it's pretty good, but I'm definitely not going to be picking up the full version. So I really expected this game to be kind of subpar. It's not an arcadey game. It's too realistic. After getting in, you have two different modes. A time trial type thing and a street race. I tried the street race first for obvious reasons. Because I just wanted to actually race. I don't want to just test my time. You can walk around your garage to pick your car. Instead of having those screens to go through them. And that's really awesome to me. Because it's like a first-person shooter type control. And you're walking around and the different reflections on them, and then like you can see how like your whole like every car, like it's real. They need to give you a form of customization in your garage. Like I wish you could like kind of change where your cars are to get your favorite ones up in like one area to kind of show them off, and maybe like work with the area, just make it your own. The graphics with the sun shining on them and the reflections changing as I walked around, it was just amazing. It was some of the best I've ever seen. I picked a car and then went on to the race. At first, I just was looking at how realistic it was. I mean, it was immediately looked so just beautiful. I mean, it's hard to imagine that a game could look this photorealistic. Gran Turismo kind of had it, but this is just so above that. I was immediately in first whenever I started. I was on the easy difficulty, by the way. I wasn't like in the hard difficulty, I was in first. By just holding it down, going from 0 to 60, like little seconds, I was just speeding up. And then I hit the first turn on the track and spun out. Then on the turns, I was like, well, I guess you're going to need to drift in them. I mean, I'm pretty good at drifting in a lot of racing games. So the next turn goes along and I try to drift. That didn't work either, and it did a big circle donut. So the next one, I tried a good old-fashioned brake turn, slowing down a bit before I hit the turn and braking just for a second. Not fully braking, just a little bit, and then getting the turn. That helped me win the match, which really surprised me, because I'm not very good at doing that. I want to just keep my speed and not even have to use a brake button any time in the game. The camera views are cool, especially the cockpit mode. It looks like you are actually in the car. You can look around and actually use a rear view mirror every once in a while instead of hitting the Y button, so I can still see what I'm doing and just kind of see who's behind me. They've got the side mirrors and everything, and then it's just so like realistic and cool. I wouldn't do a hood view like a lot of games have, where it's just kind of like you're down like kind of on the track and it's just the track and you're not really seeing the inside of the car. So, but this is cool, even though the cockpit kind of takes away room to see. It takes away a lot of valuable room to see, but it is more fun. I don't think it will last me for a full title, so I'm not really going to buy it yet. If it goes in the bargain bins, platinum hit, maybe I'll pick it up. But right now, I'm definitely not going to, just because it's just, I'm not going to want to play a racing game where I have to play it like I'm really driving a car. Speaking of PGR3, with the game as realistic as it is, even the background, you might not even be able to tell from reality in game. Back in some early screenshots of the backgrounds, I could tell they were going to be very lifelike. And a lot of racing games, they have the crappy, like, the backgrounds just aren't really backgrounds. I didn't put a lot of time into them. It's just kind of like one image in the background kind of fitted to look like a building, and it didn't work that good. This one, it was like they took time to make the backgrounds, and that really adds the experience. One site has taken the real locales and PGR3 locales in the same area, so you can see which is which, real or game. I'm not going to say which ones are which. They have a bunch of different pictures, but click the links before you read the whole, page, because it tells you which ones. As you can tell from them, it's not a whole lot different. There are little subtle things you might notice, in one of them you can tell the tree was from the video game, and a lot of that stuff, but overall, if you're driving along, you're definitely not going to notice a difference. While we're talking about 360 racing games, why not talk Full Auto? And by the demo, it is one of my favorite racing games of all time. First, according to Gaming Horizon, the demo will be available on Xbox Live starting January 25th, and as we all know, will release on February 14th. If you haven't picked up the demo on the Xbox Magazine disc yet, go do it now, because you won't feel bad about losing $5 for it. It's just so amazing, and I thought I was going to like it from the car combat with the guns and all that, but it's even more than that. It's the Unwreck feature adds to it, of course. The driving and all of this, it really makes it a great game. Sega has put up their own viral marketing campaign of sorts, and it's odd yet a little bit funny. There was at one point a while ago where, everybody was doing viral marketing campaigns. Now it's kind of died down, but this one is actually better than all the other ones. First, you're going to notice this guy giving a presentation. He is acting in the thing. It's a real guy, he's acting, with a ton of random stuff to do. Just stand there, and he'll just start randomly talking, and he'll move around and kind of nudge you to go on. The videos at first look really stupid, a parody of an older video. So if I was you, just rewind to the end parts for the cool stuff. What they do is they take some of the stuff that you're going to have to do in the Full Auto game. You're going to blow up some barrels or run into... You're going to blow up some barrels or see something explode and glass fly everywhere, realistically. So what they do is they have this team at Sega Labs that... do all this stuff that might happen, they blow up a porta potty, they will blow up a propane gas heater with a glass sheet beside it and see exactly how it works. And then they say how that's that'll look as realistic as that in the game. The particle physics engine will make this look exactly like you saw it right then. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek way to show off the things like the graphics and physics. And Particle, it is really weird at first, but you will want to check out all of them. One of my favorites is the Unwreck one. It takes they blew up all this stuff, and they ran over piano and all this. Then it takes it and it rewinds it and puts the explosion back together to simulate the Unwreck. One isn't being released until Wednesday, and above all the different videos, all six, it has what they are blowing up or crashing into, whatever, and it's a car, so I have a feeling that they're going to have two cars running into each other. Can't wait for that. It's going to be pretty cool. The next big racing game for the 360, and Full Auto's biggest competitor, is Burnout Revenge. Details on it now seem to be near the current gen versions, most the same crash modes and all that. The new stuff should include the basic new Xbox 360 stuff, Xbox Live functionality, better Xbox Live functionality, better graphics, physics upgrades, and all that. Some screens have been released, and they are amazing. The different parts, they show the different cars flying apart and crashing. The parts are flying everywhere, and the individual parts, not just random little plates you might see in a normal racing game. You'll see a piston or an axle or part of a wheel go flying. we aren't exactly to the crash level of detail that, if you remember, was shown at GDC and E3 of 2004, showing how the XNA architecture was going to work for all this on the Xbox, which is probably the best we are going to get in a while, since that demo was really dedicated just to crashing, and it was some of the best crashes I've ever seen. All of this will be in the show notes. Dead or Alive 4, one of those games where the hardcore stay overtime to get every achievement on the list. Wouldn't it stink if, after all of that time playing to get the stuff, you got on and you lost every one of your saves on it? That will include your characters, leaderboard rankings, achievements, costumes, and more. Well, apparently it can happen, and I am here to help. The thing that happens is that if you have DOA 4 in your disc tray, it loads up before your Xbox Live account does. And then it assumes that since your Xbox Live account isn't loaded up, it doesn't have your achievements, it doesn't have your saves, that you have no saves for it, and acts like you've never played it. What's worse is that it auto-saves in, so if you did have the saves on there, then they're all gone, erased, and the other one put on top of it. To fix it is fairly simple. Just let your Xbox Live account load before you put the game in. Tecmo is apparently trying to fix it, and will issue a patch sometime soon. If I was you, I would be a little more cautious until they do. I'd really hate to lose all my saves in a game that I've been trying really hard to beat, especially a fighting game, because you have to unlock all that, and that'd be pretty horrible. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. It's been delayed, and then delayed again. Finally, we are getting more footage from the game. This time, not exactly in a video of the game, but a developer diary. Ubisoft has put this video out, and it talks about the Crosscom technology and all the other little windows that show people talking, intel, or others' team members' views. You might remember them in all the other videos. It's like a little screen that pops up on your HUD that kind of shows what others on your team can see. I don't see how it's going to help a whole lot. Maybe a little bit of info, but it was really hard to tell what was going on in the little windows. Most of the time in the different, whenever you're looking through your teammates' views, they're looking so fast left and right and everything's happening, you can't tell what is happening. I guess if you put it into context and you're playing the game, you'll find it out a whole lot better than just in these that are switching pretty fast. Anyway, it does have some gameplay footage that you can look at until it is finally released sometime in quarter one of this year. Far Cry's game on the Xbox, for me, of course, was lackluster. I didn't get to play it too much. I played a lot of multiplayer, but the controls were a little bit off, not by much. The map editor, although cool, was a little unwieldy. Like, if you wanted to make something, it was kind of harder to do exactly everything you wanted to do. The graphics were still good, like the PC versions, though. Apparently, two new console versions for the series are coming. The first is for the Xbox, and is called Far Cry Instinct's Next Chapter. Apart from its very original name, the game will have a new story, characters, and game features, what we would expect from a sequel. The other version is the 360 one, called Far Cry Instinct's Predator. This is supposed to be an enhanced version of both the Xbox titles, the Far Cry Instincts and then Next Chapter, on one disc. The power of the 360 gives improved AI, better car chases, and more enemies on screen, as well as enhanced graphics. This is cool, and we get two new Far Cry titles to expand on the ideas of the first. But why is the 360 version essentially a compilation with added features? I think there should be two different titles, but whatever, as long as the changes are really good, I'm going to be fine. I also think that putting a compilation out at the same time as an original title is going to hurt the sales of the original title. I have a feeling next chapter is going to be a little bit cheaper than Predator. But if it does come out, then most people are going to want to get the 360 version for all of that stuff. They need to put in a keyboard and mouse support, and not for the good controlling of the thing, but for a map editor, or allow you to make them on a computer and download them through Marketplace, and that would be really awesome. One pretty good RTS of last year was the Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-earth game. Well, we have news now that not only is the sequel announced, but it is also coming to the 360. They said the controls on that version will of course take a huge overhaul, since keyboard and mouse play has been the standard for real-time strategies for a while. The biggest feature on that version will include Xbox Live Play, of course. I have no idea how it will be controlled. Hopefully it isn't too hard. I have a little bit of a feeling it's going to go away from a huge RTS to a smaller, even individualized role. Not as much. I mean, I'm kind of thinking about Spartan Total Warrior whenever I say that, taking from maybe Rome Total War and bring it down to that, but maybe have actually squad members and all of that. We'll have to see when it launches sometime this summer, and the PC version will also come with that. The biggest downfall of the Dreamcast was that they didn't have a few game developers, one of them EA. They just didn't want to help out with the console. Well, the Revolution won't have to worry about it, since EA is staying on board. Some thought that EA, with its lack of innovation in the past years, wouldn't be able to handle the controller. I have a feeling the Wavebird-like shell will be needed with a lot of their games, since I really can't imagine playing Madden with the Revolution controller. Maybe, just maybe, the EA original intellectual property will come out for a system to put us all in shock. If it does come out, it will have to be something original that will work with the Revolution controller, and that would be fun. I'm looking for it. Admit it, you've tried to draw pictures in your PictoChat. You've tried to draw pictures in PictoChat on your DS, only to see crappy lines. Amazingly, some people actually can draw in the DS, and have posted their art online. This is a whole gallery dedicated to DS art, with some better than others. They have a huge variety, but my favorite of all of them is one that's kind of like a movie type thing, a slideshow, with Samus Aran of Metroid Prime killing a Metroid. It's really awesome. Go check it out, and if you can draw, post them there, and be sure to tell us. Metroid Prime Hunters was cool, and then not cool. And now it's back up to one of my most anticipated handheld titles. Well, it is my most anticipated handheld title. See, it was fun in the demo whenever the DS launched, and playing the wireless with friends was really cool. Then, they said it won't be over Nintendo Wi-Fi connection, which really turned me off. Then, they said it will be online over Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. Well, they are taking its online to the next level with cool new info. First, there will be over 25 maps to play on. Hopefully, all those maps will be playable online. Like in Mario Kart, not all the maps were playable online. And, well, that's really it on multiplayer. Not a whole lot of details on that. It's still good to know, I guess, that single player still holds true to the Metroid game, and that's where most of these details are coming in. There will be 5 different worlds, and if a bounty hunter acquires an artifact during gameplay, you have to go and track him down, maybe having to go to another world. This makes me wonder, will the game be more mission-based, where you have to go get an item, and it's random where it takes you, or level-based, where the hunter is going to different worlds is completely scripted. I kind of can't see Metroid going the first way, with it being kind of missions, but I don't know, it just depends on how it is. Also, Nintendo hopes that the six new hunters are so cool, they get their own spin-off games. I kind of hope so, since I personally would love to beat Samus Aran once and for all. But seriously, I would like to have a whole different story kind of branching off of that. I can't wait for this game. The only big problem that it has is that the DS doesn't allow us to use its mic for online talk. That'd be a nice feature. Also, there are also some new screenshots on the game, and from the looks of it, this game is going to be kind of like Quake. If you really look at it and look at how the gameplay is, I have a feeling this will be like the next Quake 3 type game. I have a big feeling when Final Fantasy 12 hits this year, a lot of marketing is going to sell it. We already have signs in Japan, a potion drink based on the game, its own PS2 console, and now a controller to go with it. From Logicool, which from the looks of it is Logitech of Japan, is making a Final Fantasy XII wireless controller. No wires, you say? How amazing! What excellent technology brought upon my favorite gaming franchise! Well, that's not all. With the Final Fantasy branding and wireless technology, you also get the ceramic white version that is also compact for an even smaller PS2 controller. The design of the controller does look better than the regular DualShock, and the PS3 controller even should be coming out in March, along with the game. Mortal Kombat is a very large fighting game. It has spanned many generations of consoles, yet each one has had its fatalities. The newest version is Mortal Kombat Armageddon. Game Informer has an article on the new version. Some details from it say there will be over 60 playable characters, including all of them from the past games. If that doesn't give you enough variety of character, the Create a Fighter system will let you customize your characters, make your own, and even make their own fighting styles. And not just a preset fighting style, you get to make every move, name your moves, and all that. The Fatality system will be reinvented. Why, I don't know, but I'm kind of guessing it's going to be more of a user experience, where instead of just showing a pre-made movie of what it will, like, of the interesting things you can do, you can somewhat control them while doing it. Like, you're going along and then instead of just doing it for you, you get to actually do some moves, preset moves, but you get to do them. A new air combo system will allow combos, well, in the air. Throws will now allow you to toss the enemy where you want, which is going to be really good for throwing your enemies into death traps. Conquest mode is based off the Shaolin Monks engine, which will be a whole lot better than the Deception Conquest mode, which was really just a collect-a-thon with tutorials along the entire game. Like to beat the game, it was just a series of tutorial after tutorial after tutorial. The whole game was tutorial. And you had to use it to unlock certain things, which really got on my nerves. The biggest problem I think that this game is going to face is that it's a current-gen game for PS2 and Xbox, releasing in October. I think that is the farthest back so that current-gen titles like this have been announced. We have a lot of titles that are coming out this summer, but into October, that's really pushing it because hopefully by then the next-gen consoles will be out, like all of them. I mean, they'll probably come out a month after that, but why can't you just push it another month to maybe get launch titles for some games? We'll have to see how this strategy works for them, especially with games like DOA 4 already taking the 360 scene. Star Wars RTSs haven't really been the greatest ever. I mean, I've played a few of them, but I haven't had that much fun. Empire at War is hoping to change that, with great graphics and a brand new engine made specifically for this game. I have really been wanting to try it out, but it seems like forever and just some footage but no gameplay. At noon on Wednesday, GameSpot will be releasing the demo for Empire at War, and I have a feeling shortly thereafter the Empire at War website will have the demo on their servers. It is just a single-player demo, but will work for me regardless. I can't wait, and GameSpot knows, having a countdown until the release. I will hopefully talk about it next episode after I've played it. Half-Life 2 is probably one of the best-looking games ever made. Even a year after its release, it holds up. Well, in a new mod, to make Half-Life 2 more cinematic, they have upgraded the low-res textures to high-res. Not a huge difference until you see comparison screenshots. Walls look a whole lot better, and not pixelated and grainy up close. The other things this mod does are brilliant. It changes the music to make it like a real score, and it keys in at different times. The weapons are also balanced to be more lifelike, so it will be easier and harder at the same time. Easier to get your kills, but it'll also be easier to survive. Download links in the show notes. Speaking of Half-Life 2, the expansion Aftermath from Valve, the delay company, finally has a pretty firm release date of April 24th. It has slipped from late last year to this year, keeping with their trend. On the same day, we're going to get Half-Life 2 Platinum, which bundles Half-Life 2, Deathmatch, Counter-Strike Source, and Day of Defeat Source, along with Aftermath. It will be a cool month for Half-Life fans, but of course, the Platinum won't really matter to you, you're just going to want Aftermath. And if you haven't picked up Half-Life 2 yet, get the Platinum version for even more fun. Rome Total War is my favorite RTS of all time. There's no building of troops or command centers, trying to mine for cash or anything like that, but only the good stuff, fighting. Well, the newest title might be Medieval 2 Total War. The only basis for that, at the time, is a magazine cover, which states the title. Right now, it's just a rumor, but a very, very nice rumor. I mean, anybody could make the magazine cover and then spread the rumor across the internet. But this, I don't even know what magazine this is. It's in a different language. Hopefully, we will get some actual stuff from Creative Assembly. Last week, I talked about two new EverQuest expansions, so I can't just leave Guild Wars in the dust. The newest title for them, and the first expansion, is Guild Wars Factions. This one is going to be needed for the company more than the EverQuest ones, because Guild Wars doesn't have a monthly fee, getting their money mostly on expansions. The new features will be two new classes, the Assassin and the Ritualist. Battle Isles will also be introduced, which is a new way to play player versus player combat. If you want to try out all of this beforehand, or just Guild Wars at all, an event will allow you to play it from January 20th to 22nd for free. Should be a fun event for even non-players of the game. I might show up myself just to try it out. And if you do own Guild Wars, and if you're thinking about owning Guild Wars, then be sure to get this expansion pack, because whenever they launch the game, they're kind of doing a test, you know, to see if having monthly fees really need the monthly fees, if it's going to affect them as much. So if we keep buying these expansions, we got to at least let them make more money or the same amount of money so that future MMOs will do this without having to pay. I know, at one point, we have all played that craptastically fun space pinball game built into Windows for hours before, trying to get a huge high score. Well, now there are some cheats to get a ton of points, so you can show off your mad skills. The first one is really cool and easy. Load up the game and type hidden test, then click the pinball machine. Then drag your mouse around. The ball is going to follow it. You can do anything with it, getting a ton of points. While in hidden test mode, press H for the high score table to come up with a place for you to put your name, saying you got 1 billion points. If you want to be elite pinball hacksaw, Mr. Speaker talks about how he reverse engineered it to see the different codes. A really good article for pinball cheats and reverse engineering. Be sure to see how Mr. Speaker does it. The Dreamcast made a big statement whenever it launched, including online and nice graphics. But it wasn't really taking in, as you all know, and failed, making it a smaller part of gaming. Well, Licksang has a Sega History Collection grab bag. It takes old Sega consoles like the Dreamcast and Genesis and make them very small, like the size of a penny. The coolest thing about this is that all the stuff like controllers, a game, VMUs, and modem. The coolest thing about it is that it has all the stuff included, like controllers, a game, VMUs, and modem. You can plug the controller in, put VMUs in the controller, attach the modem, open the disc tray, and more. These are really detailed and small for only $5. Lowdown411, who has been mentioned a lot on this show, has pics of his and are worth checking out. Links in the show notes. Japan, for some reason, always has interesting stuff. Just look at their cosplayers to get an idea. Something I hadn't expected to be different were their game covers. Why they are different, a lot of times I don't know, but they are. For example, the Ratchet and Clank games are very cartoony looking, and Ratchet has very big and bushy eyebrows, made for the Japanese audience on purpose. The Battalion Wars game, Famicom Wars in Japan, has the characters looking older and more realistic. The U.S. has them childish. The U.S. version has them more childish, and that's how the game depicts them. Also, by looking, it seems a lot of them are drawn in Japan instead of more computer 3D-ish art. Hardcore Gaming 101 has a few comparisons between them so you can see the difference, and I'll link to them in the show notes. When I talked about free games a few episodes back, I had a pretty good selection, and a lot of them are still awesome games. I just can't believe I didn't have this site, Game Oldies, on the list. It has over 1,000 old titles, including some from Sega and Nintendo consoles, arcade games, and more. This isn't exactly legal for most of these titles, but they load good and well with little lag in Java from your browser, unlike most emulators. Go check this out, and for the emulators, you know the rules. You have to own the game to play them. I do not condone illegal playing of these games, as always. But I do want to say the Street Fighter 2 game in there is awesome. Well, that's it for this episode of 60 FPS. It's a little bit shorter than normal, but not a whole lot happened. If you want direct downloads, feeds, and more, check out 60framesper2nd.blogspot.com. If you want to contact me with anything, email 60fpshost@gmail.com. Keep listening, and see you next time on 60 Frames Per Second.